This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast, coming to you live from Morningstar Lodge number 47. Leave your aprons at the door, my brothers.
New set, baby.
Yeah, I like this.
I do like this. We just got to get bigger chairs because I feel like a fucking five-year-old right now. So
we need bigger stools.
I feel like a little ass kid. I know I'm going to get my balls busted for it, but that's fine.
But whatever. Joe's got some new stools that are like the correct height for this bar. So that's going to look good. And just a little bit of construction to do.
And the only other thing we have to do is we just got to finish the front face of the table and everything. So
I just love how there's like your neck is the only thing above the table line. This is just
This is
the way it should be.
It's wonderful.
Yep, I'm liking it.
We'll get started in a second.
Let's see who we got on here. Nobody, no viewers, zero. Nobody's listening to our banter.
Pretty soon. Takes a minute.
Yeah.
Why can't I go?
Concurrent viewers 7, likes 1.
Lives. There we are.
There's no analytics. Oh, there's brother. Okay. It's just.
There we go. We're back. We're good. God, I'm like a little ass kid on this table. It's kind of pissing me off a little bit. I'm not going to lie.
Man, this is definitely not ergonomic. Like typing on this is.
No.
Strain. I'm going to end up with carpal tunnel and shit here. Oh, but hello, everyone.
Hello, everyone.
Welcome really to the new setup.
Well, we still got to work on camera angles. We got to get a tripod, so we're a little bit higher right now. We look like we're freaking, you're talking like down. We're like talking down.
Yeah, I've never had to tilt this mic down. I've always had it like jacked all the way to the max so that the thing's almost breaking.
Get a high chair. Yes, yeah. I'm aware. I have to get a freaking high chair. I know.
Yeah.
Joe's bringing chairs so you guys can bust balls all you want. Where's Holiday? Holiday is on a holiday. We didn't put him up yet.
We still have to do some decorating and
whatnot. We still got decorating to do, but we wanted to get some content out, so we're going to do it with this still under construction, but
armed and operational Death Star.
Yeah, it's like the Death Star under construction kind of
vibe. Good afternoon, Daniel Valdez, Keith Noonan. Thank you guys for tuning in. All right, ready?
I am ready.
All right. Hello and welcome to the Freemasons Podcast with your hosts, Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry.
And Worshipful Brother Ken.
This is weird looking at my face. I'm not going to lie. It's weird seeing me. I'm usually in my side profile and got my good side.
Right.
Now it's like dead on. You can see my giant freaking sausage.
Yeah, your jowls. I know.
My jowls hanging out. Oh, my God.
This is a different angle.
I don't like it. I'm going to have to go back to the side again.
I mean, I guess you could. That side's going to be well, I don't know. The camera angle would be weird.
I feel like I should stand because I look like a little ass kid on the camera. I look like I'm 4. I don't know, though. Let me try it. I got to stand up. We're going to try it.
Reach my mic. I'm going to have to go straight up and down.
Here we go.
My face down. Yeah, I don't like this.
Yeah,
This is almost worse.
Super uncomfortable. Yeah. So. All right.
Back down to the
little kid's table at Thanksgiving.
Yep.
Awesome. All right. So Welcome to the Freemasons Podcast. Today's episode is episode 182, Freemasonry and Vikings. And if you don't think there's a correlation, I'm going to drop some stuff on you a little bit.
Knowledge bomb.
It's going to be fun. Munchkins. Shut up, Trensky. Yes, I look like a munchkin. But anyway, we got some homework to do first. We don't have Facebook, but Mr. Ken, what do you got for
Instagram?
Instagram. Unless you want me to go first.
And you go first because I...
You go first. All right. So we got some Apple reviews we're going to cover first. And YouTube subscribers. We got a lot of YouTube subscribers.
Aww.
Like through the roof. Going to go back. If I miss you, I do apologize. But there's a lot. I got to go back quite far. Tried to start off where I think we left off. And we will start with... Jordan Bush. Then we'll go to Run Rabbits. All right.
Okay.
Run Rabbits. G.C. Merlander, Stephen Thornton, Hunter Hull, and Ben Larravee. Larravee? Right there.
Yeah, we'll go with that.
Go with that. It's Grimes 29, and that's what I got.
Okay.
For right now.
Over on Insta, we got, let's see, Big Country. So, Adam Schrantz, Raul Emanuel, Manuel Miranda, Joseph Madalena, Bangalore Whore. It's spelled wrong, so maybe it's supposed to be Bangalore Ho-ree. I don't know. The next one is in the Cyrillic alphabet, so I have no idea how to pronounce it, but the tag is Fiordoro Didi, whatever.
All right.
Let's see. Gold Mylar Industry, Novika Genosevic. Got that one. I know, I was slow. I'm working on it. Chake Bamba La Nafa Toligwe.
You got it. Jesus. Follow through. You got it.
Can somebody just have like normal names this week? Hergilio Senna.
Glad it's not me for a change. So,
MK. Let's see. Sid Morales. Devin Wyatt. So, thank you, brothers and friends.
Thank you, everyone. And let's toast them.
Let's do that.
Run it.
Brother, right hand to arms.
Two arms.
Ready.
Ready.
Aim.
Aim.
Fire good fire, fire all. Together, brother.
Viva, viva, viva.
I like that sound. It's a nice resounding
punctuation. And it doesn't freaking doesn't deafen everybody who's listening on the mics. That's why Corey and Countertop.
Yeah, I mean, it's got this kind of like weird sound deadening ability. I kind of like it.
Yep. All right, let's do Apple reviews. We have a couple.
If I can find I give a quick shout-out while you're looking for that?
Right.
So I'd like to give a shout-out to Ron Nash, who is the president of one of the divisions of our company. And apparently he's a listener. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, I was amazed.
Wow. And you still kept your job?
Yeah, as of right now, I still have a job.
That's pretty awesome.
So thank you for listening and thank you for your support. We appreciate it, Ron.
All right. I think I've done this one before, but I'm not sure. Stop me if I have. Steve Yutt.
Doesn't sound familiar.
Steve Yutt. Steve at Yutt. 3531. Great stuff. 5-star review. I've had family members who are and have been Masons. Love the colorful and in-depth conversations on the podcast. I've been listening since March of 2019. Keep up the great work and Semper Fi. Semper Fi Dellis.
You know, I do. As soon as you said Semper Fi, I realized that we've read that one before. But it's a good one.
And Sean Graham, I think we've done. I'm not sure. Fantastic 5-star review. Stumbled across this podcast looking for some extra info on the craft before I petitioned my local lodge. Not only did the guys give me great insight, I've since been accepted to the lodge awaiting my first degree. Yes, we've done that one too. Mm-hmm. But anyway, what the hell? What's two? I do have one other order of business before we continue and start our shenanigans, if you will.
I'm ready.
And this is from Dale Alexander. He's actually a Patreon. He's a Patreon subscriber and a Discord degenerate, if you will.
Yeah, a Discordian.
Patreon's been blowing up with new guys.
I've noticed that. They keep jumping like in, and I try to welcome everyone personally, and I'm like, I'm dropping the ball. Like,
yeah, and then Gangrene gets a hold of them forget it. Then it's, and you know their initiation. What have you seen what their initiation is, or what they
usually just ball busting?
It's ball busting, right. But they actually have an entry question with the exception of, like, you know, are you a mason?
What got you interested in masonry, do you think you're worthy of the craft, or whatever?
And what is their entry question, Ken?
That's it, isn't it?
No, they want to know whether the toilet paper roll goes over or under.
Which is an important question. It's like a psyche eval.
But this is what they do.
If you do under, there's something wrong with you.
So shout out to Gangrene and everyone on Discord. That's the stupid shit they do.
Yeah, it's universally entertaining.
I don't even know how this happened. Like,
whenever I need a smile on my face when I'm having a shitty day, I just go on Discord and I'm like, oh, my problems are not that big.
And if you're interested, you can sign up for Discord for as little as $3 a month. Mm-hmm. And you can become part of the Patreon and see extra content, which I have to start adding. But we've been so busy doing stuff.
Yep. And let's not forget about that gold tone Freemasons podcast lapel pin.
Yep.
It's like Masonic crack.
And for anybody, pretty much. For anybody else who's interested, I am going to be restarting the Lost Book of Enki. I haven't had time. We've been obviously on our little building escapade.
Yeah, we've got a lot going on.
So we're going to baseball for kids and everything else going on. But anyway, I'm going to be starting that up very, very shortly, where I'll be reading the Lost Book of Enki again.
Yep.
I'd like to do it with you boys, too. See, we get, you get your take on it, because I think I'm up to the part where the flood is about to happen.
Okay.
And it's the story of the flood.
Yeah, I was alive back then. I can give you a firsthand account.
No, Joe was alive back then. Yeah. Joe was alive back then.
Yep. Yeah, I mean, I think that would be interesting. And there seems to be a lot of people, amazingly enough, who are interested in hearing your readings and your opinion on that book, which is...
there's so frightening. Many Bible correlations.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
It's insane. But and then we have one other what is it called? What the review. Now here's the problem, and for all of our foreign listeners, I want to be clear. Mm-hmm. Apple doesn't show me 4 and 5 star reviews for whatever reason. I don't get them through Apple. Yeah. I have to get them through a separate website. So if you have written a 5 star review and I've missed you, please let us know. Reach out to us on Facebook. Say, hey, here's my 5-star review so I can read it aloud, and we can toast you for it.
Yeah, until we figure out how to read all of those reviews.
Yeah, there's so
many. I don't know
why
it's like that.
I don't know why it does that
either.
Apple's
very annoying.
This one says, the lighthearted side of the craft, and this is from Elliot Tuck, 5-star review from New Zealand. The Freemasons Podcast is a great podcast that shows the lighthearted side of the craft, or incredibly stupid Masons.
Yeah, we're not all like pillars of the community and super intelligent.
Well, we are pillars of the community. We're just,
right.
I don't know.
I just don't know that.
Children that never grew up.
Yeah, exactly.
I would highly recommend it to everyone who is interested in the craft. The podcast covers great topics, and the banter is by far the best part. Hmm. The banter.
I mean, we would do it anyway.
We don't have
We
don't have our lead banter here today. He's, I don't know, manscaping the grays out of his mangina or whatever.
No, he was doing yard work.
Which means manscaping the grays out of his mangina.
Right.
So.
But I mean, today was like the only day you were going to actually be able to get any yard work done. I did mine too, but I'm still here.
Yeah. Yeah, you are still here, Ken.
Just saying.
Dedication.
Or something. I just wanted to get out of the house.
Anyway, let's get serious. Let's toast these brothers
for
the 5-star reviews and all that stuff. Ready. Brother, right hand arms.
Two arms.
Ready?
Ready.
Aim. Fire, good fire, fire all. Together, brother. Vivat. I feel like, while I'm sitting at this table, I have to keep my arms up on the table.
I tried to do that, and then the blood started running to my
brain.
It's
lifting. So, it's like lifting me. I feel very lifted, rather than sitting on the goddamn floor, which is what I probably look like on camera.
It's enhancing my...
they are conveniently overlooking. We got your photo. It's over here. We just have to rearrange some stuff, and we're going to change camera angles and everything. We're just trying to put out what we can with what we have right now. So.
Yep.
calm your little hormones.
It's been too long since we've put out an actual episode and not just vignettes and stuff. So,
all right, let's get into the topic.
Yeah.
And before we do that, if you're interested in this, if you like what we do, like and subscribe. Who usually does the YouTube feed and everything, I'm very, I get back to people very, very fast.
Yeah.
If after we've done going live, they have questions or whatever, I'm usually pretty quick with, I gotta move my mic. Usually pretty quick with getting back to comments or thanking for those who make comments and all that stuff. So, yep. We are very interactive. We are on the road to try to get 1,000 subscribers, and we're about 200 short. So, yep.
So
if you're
what's
watching,
our goal?
Please do. What?
What's our goal?
Just 1,000, kind of like what we did to Facebook. Just
1,000 by whenever?
1,000 by whenever.
Okay. No. If we get 1,000 by a certain date, could we have some sort of incentive for all of our listeners? If we hit that number by a certain date, we, I don't know, Ken gets them a Sonic tattoo or some nonsense. Or I get a tattoo of
George. I'll come up with something, but I think we should have some sort of incentive. But anyway, like, subscribe, comment, review, turn the little bell on so you can hear us when we go live.
Yeah.
And let's get into it. So, Vikings and Freemasons.
Mm-hmm.
Ken, do you think that there's any correlation between Viking ritual and Freemason ritual?
Honestly, I'm not aware of any. And when you brought this topic to my attention, I was like, I don't know where he's getting his information from. This should be interesting because, no, I haven't heard anything outside of maybe History's Mysteries or Curse of Oak Island, where they occasionally mention Vikings and Templars and Freemasons in the same breath. I hadn't heard any correlation, but I'm intrigued because I am Scandinavian.
Me too.
My family is from Finland. Mm-hmm. So I'd love to hear something that links, the Viking culture or the Scandinavian culture to our craft.
Mm. I was waiting for you to finish what you were saying.
I'm done. Oh, I see what he did there. I've never heard that joke before. God damn it.
That was fucking horrible. I need to kill myself for that joke. Anyway, here we go. Freemasonry, the Norse religion from the Vikings?
Yep.
Interesting. Here we go. Okay. So I'll tell you how I got onto this topic. And again, this usually, it's like a gift. It just comes to me sometimes.
Yeah, I mean, you are the idea man when it comes to topics.
I've never watched it before because I had no interest in before, but the show Vikings, I've recently discovered, and we're watching that now.
Okay. Is it good?
It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good.
Add to my list.
So what I do is I'll get onto a show. I'll start watching it, and I'm like, that's bullshit. Like that
yeah,
really
like
happen.
That can't possibly.
So now what I have to do is I have to actually go to YouTube and find what the real history of Ragnar Lothbrok is, right?
Right.
I gotta find out if this really happened or Rollo or whatever the case may be, or all the main characters.
Yep.
So I go and do that. So now I start getting onto this. And then I thought, I'm like, I wonder if Freemasonry, I know that freaking naysayers are gonna bust my balls and say, Freemasonry came in 1717, which is realistically the first recorded minutes and everything, and I've made this correlation before. It's like the Mafia. The Mafia didn't just pop up one day. Al Capone's like, hey, let's start shooting people on St. Valentine's Day and bootlegging liquor. Like, there was a predecessor to it.
Yeah.
They got their Omerta, the thing of ours, whatever they want to call it, from something that came prior.
Right.
So I started wondering, I wonder if Freemasons took anything from Norse ritual.
Okay.
And sure as shit, I find this article.
Okay.
In a book.
Masonry borrowed from a lot of different kind of ancient mystery schools.
Correct.
And the church and so forth. So it wouldn't surprise me at all.
Which, by the way, The video that I reacted to?
Yeah. What?
I'm catching some heat on that.
Are you really? From our listeners or just from
from
that guy who made the video?
So the guy who made the video, I posted in the comments below, I will be reacting to this. And let me tell you, that one thread has 61 comments alone,
God,
more
George.
So than any others.
You know, you're going to get banned from YouTube next. And then we're not going to be able to stream anymore.
No, but I'm literally doing what I do best, and I'm really good at it.
And you're giving them a professional heads up, like, hey, we're going to do a reaction video to this.
Professional heads up, you know, and then I'm going to tear your argument apart, and I'm going to fundamentally destroy every stupid thing to a point where I was getting yelled at by somebody saying, you're the devil and you're Satan, and bah! You know.
Wow.
Lucifer 666, you need to repent.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. They went buck wild.
I think it was a healthy debate. It was a one-sided kind of debate, but I think Joe and I tried to temper you a little bit. I don't think you
No. Not on our feed. On this video's feed.
Oh,
of the people who are like, you know.
So they weren't watching your reaction. They were just like, the fact that you're doing it makes you the devil.
Yeah, well, But, however, there is a silver lining to every dark cloud. There are people who actually started asking me about Freemasonry. Hey, about this? What about that? And I was very calm. I wasn't, I didn't blow my gasket and tell them they're stupid and all this thing.
Right.
I just fundamentally picked apart their argument and proved them why they're wrong. And I had people who were actually asking serious questions. And I hope that I gave them some knowledge or light or understanding of who we are and what we do.
That was an unintended side effect of that entire thing. Like, it just turned, we just thought it would be a funny thing to do, funny thing to do, but like an illuminating thing to do. And now all of a sudden people are asking about Freemasonry.
Let me tell you.
Yeah. Along with all the vitriol we had to deal with, but yeah. That's kind of cool. I'm going to have to go and look that up.
Yeah, I'll send you the link. Okay. And holy shit. Anyway, I stumbled up on this article. It's and I'm gonna read it to you guys, and you guys can come up. I want to be clear: this is in no way saying that Freemasonry is blah blah blahzy blahzy. You know, Freemasonry derived from X, Y, or Z. But here we go.
And also, these are not the opinions of any Grand
Lodge,
Free and Accepted
like
Masons, or any other Masonic body. This is solely the opinions of the hosts of the Freemasonry.
And I'm just reading it, and then we're just gonna go over what we think. But I'll tell you. A lot of interesting curiosities in here. For instance, here we go. I was sitting in my Freemason lodge in Oslo one night. So this is a Norwegian, Norway Freemason.
Yep.
Looking at the two pillars in front of me. They were allegedly from King Solomon's temple. But could they instead be Norse god Thor's high seat pillars that the settlers threw overboard when nearing land as a Viking sagas tells?
Interesting.
So, Viking saga, again, I got to do my homework. So, part of their Norse mythology was that the Viking sailors threw the pillars overseas, and that's how they ended up, here on Earth or whatever.
Okay.
Follow what I'm getting at? So, you can make
a correlation. So, the gods, like the Norse gods, pitched them over, and that's how they ended up on Earth.
The settlers threw them overboard when nearing land. Yep. So that's how they ended up getting bestowed to us here on Earth. And they've been recreated 1,000 times over.
Okay.
There are many theories about the origins of Freemasonry. The most common is that it originated from stonemasons' lodges while the great cathedrals in England were being built. Others claim that Others claim that it descends from the Knights Templar. Sorry about this. This is not me. I suck at reading things, but this is written sucky.
He probably translated.
Others claim that it descends from the Knights Templar. I'll just break it down in regular form. Others admit that the origins is unknown. Now a new theory has been presented that Freemasonry is a direct continuation from the old Norse religion that Scandinavian settlers and Vikings brought with them to England and Scotland in the Viking Age. That the names of the Norse gods were removed and King Solomon in Jerusalem was introduced instead. This new theory is based partly on medieval English documents that claim that this transformation was done in York, England, and under King Athelstan's reign. With Christianity becoming more dominant, especially after the Norman conquest, this other religious entity went underground, holding their meetings in secret places and lodges. The organization didn't appear public again until the beginning of the 1700s as Freemasonry, and has since spread to countries in Europe and through the British Empire to America, Asia, and Australia. Today, there are many millions of Freemasons all over the world performing the old rituals and changeless rites. But has it remained largely a mystery? What is the true origin, and what do the ceremonial rites actually mean? I have something after this article, too, but we're going to continue. There's more to it, and I actually... This other article breaks it down like awesome.
Okay.
Anyway, the sensational new theory can explain a number of features of the Masonic rituals that are otherwise completely incomprehensible. So there are so many incredible similarities between Freemasonry and Vikings initiation rites that it can't be just coincidence. For instance, the origin of the first 3 degrees in Freemasonry are the same as ancient initiation rituals of the North gods, Freya, Odin, and Thor, their names removed and replaced by King Solomon's.
Interesting. I mean, I'd love to know exactly how close.
The other article I have not read yet, so we're gonna say.
Now we're gonna wait. Okay.
Hold on, and let me continue. A peculiar ritual of the leather slipper that Freemasons wear on one foot is a lot less strange if it is known that the ancient Norwegian Gulathing and the Froslathing laws.
What?
Yeah, I'm trying here.
Okay.
Laws state that a shoe made of cowhide on one foot was a fixed part of the ceremony in which young Norsemen drank their salvation ale during the so-called Atalekking. Well, I'm trying. These are Norse words, and I suck.
Yeah,
so,
no, that's okay.
So they drank their ale wearing one slipper during the Atalekking, when fathers accepted their sons as full family members.
Okay, so it was like a coming-of-age ceremony.
Coming-of-age ceremony.
They had to wear one slipper made one of cowhide, which is vaguely similar to part of our initiatic rites. That's interesting. It was said that, and this is part of one of the lectures in Freemasonry, is that taking off one shoe harkens back to the Israelite
plucking off his slipper and giving it to his neighbor.
Yeah, I'm trying to do it without like actually
going through.
But yes, yeah,
I got you, Kenny.
Book of Ruth actually talks about you take off one shoe and you give it to your neighbor, and that's how you show fidelity, you show sincerity, and so it could have come from more than one place.
Would you like some more filibuster? So I got to give a shout out to
That's a cool name.
I got to give a shout out to my neighbor. This is an extremely expensive bottle of bourbon.
Really?
Yes.
And he gave it to you?
Yeah.
Because you're such a...
Because I'm a great neighbor. A
glowing personality.
So shout out to my neighbor, Ken.
Yeah. Ken.
Ken.
Not this Ken.
Thank you, different brother. Ken. Better Ken.
Oh.
Bigger Ken. More improved. It's like, what was that? What was that?
Version 2.
No, what was that, that movie with Kurt Russell? Universal Soldier or whatever, right? Where they had like the new, better version of him.
Never saw that one.
Somebody help me out. Yeah. Somebody help me out with that one. Anyway.
Holiday, we're looking at you.
Yeah.
We know you've seen that movie.
Yes. It's a military, a war movie or whatever. You know what? I think it was Universal Soldier or something, where he was like on like that like dead planet that was like a garbage planet, and he was saving the people that were there. Holiday, help me out here.
Yeah,
I don't
know that one. So we're drinking. We've got Filibuster over there, and we've also got. I got to give a shout out to Lasting Brass Brewing Company, which is actually in Oakville, Connecticut.
Oh no, shut.
I think it's Oakville. Oakville, Connecticut. That's right. Yeah, one of my friends actually picked up a couple 4-packs of this beer for me because I had never tasted it before. And we're drinking Last Breath from Lasting Brass, if anybody's interested, in Hopbrook.
Yeah. And it's basically a chick getting dragged underwater by a crack.
By an octopus, yeah. It's kind of interesting. Well, you know, it's breweries all have to have their little shtick for their labeling and stuff. It's kind of a cool picture.
Puss will bring you under. Anyway, moving on.
Really weird now that I look at it.
Back into the subject. So here's another one. This is pretty interesting. The Freemason's apron is a reminiscing of an old Scandinavian custom. He is, quote unquote, born again and was originally put out of a skin womb. The apron is therefore a symbol of the womb from where he is reborn. Interesting. So what I'm gathering from that is old Scandinavian custom is where they put him in a skin, whatever the child person is. They wrap him in a skin, and then he is born out of the skin again. I'm assuming that's what that
right.
means.
Right, and if you look at the Entered Apprentice ceremony, like one of the symbolic kind of, I don't know, what it's symbolic of is the rebirth, right? So
right.
I guess, and that's the ceremony where you're given your white leather apron, so.
Right.
Okay.
Interesting.
There might be a link there, yeah.
The apron is therefore a symbol of the womb from where he is reborn. Traces of the old Freemasonry are found all over Scandinavia, inside museums, in old sacred places, under the oldest stave churches, and throughout its literature. The Icelandic author, Sorne Sorlason, Scandinavian names. Stop.
Yeah, Iceland is it's an
and his contemporary, the Danish author Saxo, both describe initiations to the gods in their writing, which today we can recognize as the first and third degree in Freemasonry. Interesting. Okay. I think stop me if I'm wrong, but I think at one point there was only 2 degrees of Freemasonry, wasn't there?
No.
There was only the Entered Apprentice and the Fellowcraft. The Master Mason, you weren't the Master Mason. I think we kind of covered that, right? Well, we speculated if there was...
Way back, right?
There was only...
There were actually additional degrees, like part of the York Rite degrees in England.
No, I'm talking about the
initial...
Originally,
you had the, you know, like the Mark Master degree was part of ancient craft masonry.
No, but...
For a while, but yeah, I mean, the first
You know what I'm
two...
talking about, right? We used to, because it was called just... You weren't called a fellow craft, you were just called a fellow...
Right.
It was Entered Apprentice, a fellow, and then you were a master. Remember, like, we couldn't find anything on Master Mason?
It was, that was pre-1717.
Pre-1717, right?
Yep.
So, I mean, that's kind of along the lines here. I don't know why you said first and third, because, I mean, maybe, I don't know. I mean, we're kind of just spitballing here, but, I mean, maybe he meant first and second, and there wasn't a third or whatever, or what we compared to the third. You know, I feel like... This is me. I don't feel like the fellow craft degree was actually a degree, and that was kind of added later. And actually, it was the Entered Apprentice and Master Mason degree, but the Master Mason degree was a fellow degree.
Yeah.
And then in order to become the master, you had to be master of a lodge, because we have our quote-unquote past master's degree as well, right?
And if you look at the actual ritual of the Entered Apprentice degree and the Master Mason degree, they have more similarities than differences, and the Fellowcraft almost feels different.
Like, Daniel Valdez, Kurt Russell was in Soldier.
And he was dumped on a planet.
Dumped on a planet with obsolete. Yep.
Huh. Yeah, I don't remember that one.
That's what I was getting at. Thank you.
Appreciate that. Otherwise, we'd be grasping at straws all night here.
Useless knowledge. Anyway, moving on.
It's important.
Today's Freemasonry is very strong in Scotland due to the Norwegian settlements on the west coast during the Viking Age. I don't know if that's an opinion piece or...
That sounds like an opinion to me.
Sounds like an opinion. Sounds like an op-ed. I mean...
Yeah, well...
Today, Freemasonry is very strong in Scotland due to the Norwegian settlements... on the west coast of during the Viking Age. The revolutionary new theory claims and offers substantial proof that the ancient pre-Christian Norse religion has actually survived in Europe, but in hiding as Freemasonry. But the Freemasons do not know it themselves. Well, we never know, right? We never know. We're Lucifer, we're freaking devil worshippers. We don't know anything, right? No matter how freaking high your degree is.
Cite your sources. He didn't, like, say what the substantial evidence is.
Here we go. So I challenge anybody who is interested. Maybe we could reach out to this guy. The only problem is, from what I'm reading, is that his book is in... It's in Scandinavia.
Yeah, he wrote it in Norwegian, and so it probably got translated to English, which
is
why...
Here's the problem, though. If it got translated into English, that means he doesn't speak English, which means we couldn't have him as a guest on the podcast.
Right. That would be my guess, just based on the fact that the grammar in that article is not quite right.
Unless we get, like, Stephen Hawking's translation. Unless we get, like, Stephen Hawking's to translate.
It's Stephen Hawking. Unfortunately, he passed away a while ago. Yeah,
I'm just saying, like,
it's messed up.
No, I'm talking about
it's too,
like,
soon, George.
All right, whatever. I'm talking about the phone translator, which is, it at least does it in the Roman voice.
Yeah, Siri might be able to translate it.
As a Freemason of 30 years, I've studied Freemasonry and its history in detail. My groundbreaking new theory is presented in the book. I'm not going to read that. But it basically breaks down into Freemasonry and the Viking Age. In the Viking Age, excuse me.
Okay.
So anybody's interested in checking that out, if you can read Norwegian. If not, we'll move on. However, here is another website, and this is translated, thankfully, in English, partially. Arvid Jastad is the guy who's on the face here of this website, and it's and I'm going to... So anybody could check this out if you're interested at home or you want to check it out. Frimurnerne. Frimurnerne.
Yeah, we'll drop a link.
.no, Norwegian, / Freyas - right - 1 - degree. So this is called Freyas Right First Degree.
Okay.
So this is going to break it down into actual degrees. I'm excited about this. Joe needs to come with the new chairs because my ass is numb sitting on these bar stools.
Yeah, it does. It's starting to hurt a little bit.
Okay, so it was on St. John Day, 1717, that the Freemasons again appeared in public when four lodges in London formed the Grand Lodge. Yep, we know that. Yep. Goose and Gridiron.
Goose and Gridiron, dude.
After this day, the original 3 degrees of Freemasonry have been named St. John's Lodges. From former secret lodges in England and Scotland, Freemasonry then spread into many countries in Europe and America in the first half of the 1700s. In Norway, the first meeting was also held in St. John's Day in 1749. That's crazy. 1749.
Why is that crazy?
Because Morningstar was in 1804. That's like less than 50 years later.
Yeah.
Yep. Anyway... At Bugnadno Kongsgard near Oslo. Got it.
What?
Yeah. Scandinavian words, man. Come on.
I know.
Yeah, why do I pick shit that's always a language that I'll never understand? I do this all the time.
Well, I would think if you're going to talk about Freemasonry and Vikings, Vikings lived in Norway. Norwegian people speak Norwegian.
I know, but I always pick like something that's like extremely difficult for me to read so that everybody either A is making fun of me because I'm short as shit sitting at this table,
like the lost
tablets, or B, I can't speak for shit. So,
yeah. Well, I mean,
moving on.
You're a glutton for punishment, I guess.
This day, the longest day of the year, is still celebrated with bonfires by a water's edge all over Scandinavia and great festivals. This is pretty cool. These actually got pictures up here and shit. The former sacred places in western Norway, Egia, whatever you want to say. Egia, I don't know.
Egia.
In a place in freaking Scandinavia, have quite unusual sun conditions. Midsummer, they are met in the day's first sun rays, and by the last rays before the sun goes down. So they meet all day, basically. Midsummer, they are met by the day's first sun rays, and by the last day, the last rays before the sun goes down.
Right.
That's a long ass lodge.
Spend all day in the sun.
I love my brothers, but I'll tell you what, there's no goddamn way you're going to keep me locked in a room.
Wear sunscreen too.
Yeah. In the sanctuary at Tennes, just under the surface, a small stone coffin without the lid with burnt bone remnants, probably from the ancestors of the farm, was found under archaeologic excavation in 1915. There were traces of fire on the wall or myrrh that soon fire. That's the Scandinavian word for fire that stood in the middle of the sanctuary. A knife was also found there.
That's interesting.
I'm going to fast forward here. There's a picture on here. It's pretty cool. It's called the Shrine at Ranhain near Trondheim, excavated by the Danish archaeologist. I'm trying to find where I was reading here. To the right of the old stone horg with the open coffin remains of burnt human bones. They were two slate walking rings around the coffin. Interesting. There are two slate walking rings around the coffin, one probably for the initiation of the candidate, the other for Freya. The area between the walking rings was filled with white glimmering stones. I've collected some there before all was destroyed and removed. Also note the four pillars in a square. So they have a picture up here. They have four pillars in a square.
Mm-hmm. And the walking ring is...
The walking ring is kind
of reminiscent of our circumambulation.
Yeah. It was probably Frey and Freya's house. The long stone walls run from east to west. To the left, there is a large stone that may have been part of a original stone altar where it has been fire. I'm trying to find it where it actually... Here we go. This is where he's making the correlation. Hold on 1 second. I need to wet the whistle. Running out of air here.
Now you have the do you have the YouTube feed up as well? You can drop a link to that when you get a chance. I wasn't able to find
it. Yeah, I absolutely can. So let's do that right now. So you guys can follow along if you're home. Please don't do this while you're freaking driving.
Yes. Pay attention to the road.
I'm gonna drop a link right here in the live chat so you guys can check it out. It's pretty interesting. All right, so let's see here. Here we go. The later sanctuary is a high wall very similar to Norwegian stave churches where post holes for four small pillars have been found. They confused the archaeologists since they had no roof-bearing function. I believe it is here we find the origins of the four or three pillars, which are placed in the lodge room of the Freemasons today. The Danish archaeologist, whatever his name is, who excavated the shrine, found a large stone inside the hallway, which may have served as an altar. In my opinion, the ceremony shows in the drawings cannot be correct, as the artist interpreted the stone walls as a road from the water up to the shrine.
I have to go back up to the picture now.
Oh, you see it now, Ken?
Yeah.
The Gutenlagging and the Frostlagging laws have provisions for Atteling. But when a son was to be recognized as a member of the breed, a big feast was held on the farm. A three-year-old ox was slaughtered, and a large amount of beer was brewed. The boy who was to be admitted into the breed got a shoe made of the ox foot on his bare right foot.
Okay.
Interesting. That's pretty cool. Another Norse custom was to drag a child. I drag my children all the time. No, I'm kidding. I would never beat my children.
Out of a folded skin that symbolized the uterus. Wow.
Yeah. Who was to be admitted in the breed out of a folded skin that symbolized the uterus. The skin was fastened around his waist and thus adopted was reborn.
Okay.
So they would put the skin of the ox around his friggin' waist after they dragged him in, apparently.
Yep. Well, I mean, that's what the other article talked about as well. I mean, and there's...
Similar. Not the second part where it was put around his waist, though. It just said, you know...
Right. You were just covered in a skin and then correct. You had to burst from it.
The Edda poem is about a king's son, Ottar, who was initiated to Freyja by the fire or wall. An initiation to Freyja is also found in the Danish historian Saxo's account of King Hadin's journey to the underworld. Freyja fetcheth, which is interesting in itself right there, just the King Hadling's journey to the underworld, because, I mean, go to the Chamber of Reflection. Vitriol.
Yeah, yep.
Vista Interiora to... Whatever, I suck at lead. But it basically means visit the interior of the world and
finding it purified. Or so. I'm glad Joe's not here. He would have smacked me in the back of the head.
He would have. So that's interesting. Freyja fetches Hadling in the hall together, and they make a journey into the underworld, where she eventually leads him to the fire or the wall. Here Freyja cuts off the head of a cock... What's in the Chamber of Reflection?
I don't think there's any chickens in the chamber. Mm-hmm. There is.
It's actually one of the symbols that mostly used in Europe, but it's a symbol on the wall.
Oh, really? I didn't know that.
Yeah, it's a picture of a. And I want to be clear here, you dirty bastards on freaking Discord.
Cock isn't chicken.
It's a chicken. Chicken.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mine
didn't have that. My Chamber of Reflection that I went through during York Rite, which is not the same as your chamber.
I noticed that. It's more prominent in Europe where it's lodges, they put the cock in the wall, and above it that has the words perseverance and something else around it.
Hmm.
Because it's the spirit of the the cock is an animal that will fight until the death. It won't stop.
Yeah, that's they're for just, damn sure. I've seen it happen before.
Yeah, they're just nasty bastards. Yeah. They just fight to the death. They don't care.
Little dinosaurs.
Yes. So it she cuts off the head, has it brought it with her, throws her head over the fire. Immediately the cockcrow is heard from the other side. Thus, by the myrrh, or the fire, there is new life. Hadlin goes through a sacred wedding with Freya and becomes her husband. Hadlin becomes, big words, possibly the word free, could mean Freya. All right, let's move on here. Let's see here. The picture below shows two gold jewels, one from Jaren in Norway and the other from Ludenborg on the Frun in Denmark. Mm-hmm. Words are causing me to burp. Apparently. Freya has a good grip around the candidate's hand, wherein she leads him onto the journey. Note Freya's braid, it can be associated with a noose around the candidate's neck. Ah! Mm-hmm. You see it?
I mean, kind of. It just seems
the right super, side picture.
Yeah, it seems super tenuous.
It does. But also, now that he wears two different shoes, does he wear an ox shoe on his right foot? I'm not seeing. Okay. Oh, all right. So they're looking at the right side image. There's one that's squared on the nose. Yep. All right. Maybe they're pulling it strings here. I don't know.
Let's see what else they have to say.
Anyway, Freya is leading the candidate to Gullgulber from Scandinavia. This is how the candidate is led into a degree in the Scandinavian Freemasonry today. Oh, interesting.
Okay. So, I mean, their ritual has been influenced by Norse mythology.
Which is cool. How come Scottish, right?
Inception was or not is an open question. But, I mean, obviously there's going to be some cultural, coloring going on in the ceremonies, the rituals of Freemasonry in their country.
I mean, off this, I'm not reading off this, but isn't it in Norse mythology or Norse tradition that they would drink from the skulls of their enemies, too?
Wasn't that Sparta?
Was it Sparta or was it Norse? Somebody help us out in the comments.
It could have been Norse, too. I could see them doing something like that, but yeah, it wouldn't.
I just remember them, they got the freaking, the head with the skull drinking the freaking wine or whatever.
There were definitely ancient cultures that did that kind of
thing. Right, right. And I'm just thinking of this particular certain.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. I know where you're going. But I'm not going to say anything.
Picking up what I'm putting down, right? Yeah. All right. And realistically, I mean, if you really want to, I mean, yes, Knights Templar is a Christian degree. Yes. I hate to break it to all the people who think we're devil worshippers. It is a Christian degree.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the religious overtones in that series of three degrees is Christian. Like, definitely de facto Christian versus, our illusions of the great architect of the universe instead of God and all the other degrees of Freemasonry.
Well, I mean, you could even make a comparison loosely that it's still a knightly order. You know, Vikings weren't knights, but they did have a code of honor to get into Valhalla.
Yeah.
So, interesting.
Yeah.
We find all the symbolism today in today's Freemasonry. The coming Freemason gets a slipper on his right foot before being led into a room, a remnant of Ataldin, whatever. Mm-hmm. The Freemason is led on a journey three times around the room. Sorry, Mike. We're going to definitely need to get some wires. Yeah, we're going to need to get some wire holders because it keeps pulling my mic away from
me. I've got plenty of cable organizers. We're going to we'll get it done right.
Yeah, we're not done yet. The Death Star is still operational, though.
Yeah, I mean, it's working. We're here. We're broadcasting.
The Freemason hasn't
fallen over yet.
No, not yet. Hey, why you got to add the word yet in there, though? God damn it.
Because
freaking naysayer.
Okay, I'm sorry. I mean, it's sturdier than I thought it was going to be.
We also haven't tied the sides in, too. We got a couple more boards in the front. We also got to do the insides because this thing is pretty much just a gut in the middle here.
Yeah.
So we got some more.
We need a little shelf in here for the computer that we're building and everything. Yeah.
Then tripod's going to go up there so that the camera's going to be pointed, on a good angle rather than, people looking up at us.
So you don't have to look at George's jowls anymore.
Ken, get George a high chair. Yes.
We already talked about that. We knew that was going
to
come
up. You're late to the game there, kiddo.
Yeah. Oh, my back.
Oh, let's see here. This is so uncomfortable. Yeah, I know.
This
is all I had, though. It was either that or we're sitting on the floor with the chairs.
Yeah, we would have been standing. Sorry, I appreciate you doing that.
Brother Limos Musikoff, it would be cool having a podcast discussing the similarities between the EA and MM degrees and why the Fellowcraft degree seems different. That's what I'm saying.
I would love
Because that's why I think the Fellowcraft degree wasn't a freaking degree that was put in later. I don't think there was a Master Mason degree. I think the Fellow degree was the Master Mason degree, and then the Passmaster degree was the Master Mason degree because... You weren't a master until you were Master of Lodge.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. I'll have to like do a little bit of research on that myself because I don't know all that much about the ancient origins of each of the three degrees. But yeah, I mean, when you just if you just look at it objectively, each of those three degree ceremonies, like the ritual is the Fellowcraft stands on its own almost.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So yeah,
I think it came later. I think it was added later. That's my personal opinion.
Let's do some research and have an episode on it.
Okay, yeah. Let's do it.
That's going to be a fun one.
All right, let's continue on here, and then we'll wrap this up here. The Freemason led into the journey three times around the room and around the coffin and is then told to take three steps over the coffin with the bone remnants of his ancestors. Then he's led to the altar where he is initiated. The ritual does not tell to whom. After his initiation at the altar, the Freemason gets an apron around his waist. They're jumping a lot, but I'll continue.
Yeah.
The symbol of the uterus, which means that he is born again.
Yeah, there's a lot of supposition in here.
At the end of the meeting, he is placed in the northeast, a sacred direction in pre-Christian time where the sun rises in the midsummer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that would be part of the midsummer ritual of Scandinavia that they do.
It could be, or it could just be where the sun rises. Like, you know what I mean? There's just it seems like they're grasping a little bit.
In Scandinavian Freemasonry, the candidate is met by love when he arrives at the altar in the lodge room. Is met by love, is in quotes, in the lodge room for his initiation. Below, we see the first degree in the York Rite with a noose around his neck and the slipper on his right foot. They're stretching here.
Okay.
The Midsummer Feast at Scandinavia is associated with old fertility rites. It is so called. Okay, let me stop right here. I gotta throw this out here. For all my Christian friends, I hate to tell you that all of these holidays and or festivals came on the back end of something that was already there.
Oh yeah, they were just repurposed.
They were just repurposed to be Catholic.
Yep.
So this Midsummer thing,
Easter,
Midsummer Feast,
mm-hmm.
That could be. Your
pagan
Saint John's
fertility, right? Oh, I see what
Ascension you're Day or whatever the hell we have coming up.
Yep.
Christmas. I hate to break it to you, Jesus didn't die on Christmas. That was the original Festival of Lights, a pagan holiday, which symbolized generally when the darkest day of the year was.
Yeah, and it was a lot easier to get people to, you know, that already have like these deep entrenched cultural traditions during these times of year.
Let's look at Easter.
Christian, if you just make a holiday that, you know, correlates
with Let's look at Easter. Bunny. What the hell does an egg or an Easter bunny have anything to do with the resurrection?
It's a pagan fertility rite.
Yep. And it symbolizes everything coming back to life.
Yep.
Egg is a symbol of fertility. A bunny, you ever heard hump like bunnies?
I've never heard that.
Never heard anything?
I'm just kidding.
But that's what it comes from, that's because that's when everything starts to come back, and that's where you get your Easter bunny.
They reproduce.
Sorry, like kids.
It's their job. Yeah, my kids aren't listening to this at home.
So anyway, that's what that symbolizes, and they just took it, and they robbed it and made it something else.
Yeah, repurposed it for their own devices.
And again, there's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, you know, I just want to be clear, like I'm not shitting on the Christian religion because, you know, I think it's great that you're using it for something that you believe in. It's great.
Mm-hmm.
Just understand the history of it.
Yeah, it doesn't necessarily mean that Jesus died that day.
Correct.
It was arisen
that day.
Right. Or arisen that day in terms of Easter. But it was like, we need to celebrate these things on a particular day. When should we celebrate it? Well, I mean, if you're converting a bunch of pagans en masse...
It makes sense to take over those holidays. I also think of back in the day when all these missionaries and monks would go to these pagan things, because that's what they did. They were on mission. They would go to places. They would see how other cultures did things, and they were, oh, you need to see Jesus.
Right. Part of it was to convert them, but they're also learning in that process.
Could you imagine if this was like Christmas, which was a pagan holiday originally? It was the Festival of Lights or whatever the hell they called it back in the day. Mm-hmm. And they have all the fires going and everything. They're trying to illuminate, because that's what your Christmas lights are all about, is to illuminate the dark. I hate to break it to you guys. Yeah, that's what it means.
No.
That's where it came from.
Okay.
Anyway, so you have they would burn, you know, pyres and all, have big fires and everything. It helped
try to cast out the darkness.
Cast out the darkness, yeah. Bring back the light and all that stuff. Okay. So Monk shows up, he's like, so a bunch of these Vikings are running around, they got fires all over the place, and they're drinking ale and having a good time. He's like, this is fucking cool.
Yeah. Yeah, part of it is like, oh, we really should be converting them, but man, I really...
This is cool as shit. Let me bring this back to my boss and see if he's down for it.
Yep.
That's what I think happened.
I think a lot of that happened. That happened a lot with...
oh, there was so much plagiarism between
the Knights
religions.
Templar and the Crusades. Absolutely. Like the exact same thing happened.
Let me finish this up, and then we'll just jaw whack for a couple minutes, and then we'll be done. This so-called Jonzok, St. John's wedding...
Oh, there you go.
That's what I said.
St. John.
Which is still, it's nice that I could bang the table and not deafen everybody.
Yeah,
too.
I know. It's
celebrated at Voss in Hardanger. In Western Norway, is probably a remnant in the initiation to Freya. The Pisher is from Voss, or yeah, whatever. Moving. That's pretty much it. I think that's pretty much it. The Freemasonry meetings always end with a guild with a good food and drink.
It's like a dinner.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. The word myrrh is today replaced, that's M-U-R, is today replaced by the corresponding French word mason.
Interesting.
Corresponding, which means that's what it translates over. Right? Is that what corresponding means?
Yeah, not necessarily. The word mirror is today replaced by the corresponding French
twice
word mason.
Goddamn.
I don't know what that means. Like, that could mean in the language. It could mean, I don't know. Unfortunately, he does cite all of his sources, which is cool. Like, this guy's you know, a little bit of a scholar, but all of his footnotes are to books that are in Norwegian. So.
Right.
Except for Duncan's Ritual Monitor. So he cites that.
I have another one here. Hold on. I got one more, and then we'll. So this is actually another website. It's ganglery.n. Oh God, who's this?
What, you got a phone call coming in?
Hello.
Is that Zanino?
Hey, it's me.
Oh, it's not Zanino. It's Public
what do you
George.
Want?
I heard you talking about Vikings.
Yes.
I got jokes.
All right.
We're kind of in the middle of something there, Papa George.
I kind of want to hear him.
What do you mean?
What's your joke?
You're doing the show. I'm watching you.
All right.
I'm watching you. You need a high chair, you little one.
Yes, I know. What's your joke?
What do you call a midget Viking?
What do you call a midget Viking?
I don't know.
George!
Asshole.
Oh, man.
All right. So anyway, this is something that is off another website, and I'm just going to read. And this is in the bold red. It's correlations between Freemasons and Viking stuff. When the sons of Vikings were to be included in the clan family, he got to wear a leather shoe. We've already covered that. At the reception of the first degree of Masonic Lodge, the future Freemason wears a slipper on his right foot. Yep, covered that. At the inauguration, the future Mason goes around the so-called working blanket. Tracing board three times and then steps over it three times.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's it might not be American, but.
Well, it's reminiscent of circumambulation somewhat.
Mm-hmm. After death, the body was often burned and the remains, which was considered to be sacred, were stored in a coffin. A young man had to go three times around the coffin and then step over it three times. Number three is interesting, though. I'll give you that one.
Okay.
They keep. Three.
Right, yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, even that, I think, unless you can prove kind of causality, it's still, I mean, three was an important number in a lot of cultures and religions, and it's just a number.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, yeah.
An important symbol in Freemasonry also be the pillars that we think of, Solomon's pillars. They can be symbolic continuation of the Norse pillars, where we covered that one too. I'm just trying to find out if there's anything else. There was also an ancient pagan custom to take a child that was adopted Take him up by the seed out of a folded leather. Okay, yeah. So yep, we've already
that
covered
was
this.
The reborn, rebirth moon thing.
So I think we covered all the similarities.
Drop that link in the chat as well.
Yeah.
In case anybody wants to read that one.
This
is a pretty good summary of everything that we talked about.
I don't know, Kenny. What do you think?
I'm not convinced. I'm kind of a skeptic. I'm a man of science. I'm a big, you know, correlation does not necessarily prove causality type. So I'm still, it seems very opinionated, and it might just be the fact that these articles are being translated from Norwegian, but it seems very, you know, not so much definitive. It seems just like opinion pieces, which is fine.
I also think that, you know, what people don't realize is that there's a lot of carryover from religion to religion.
Yeah.
A lot of it. Yep. There's different, you know, the Vikings went to England. They went there first attacking, but then, you know, then you have the Norman Empire, which is the Vikings were like, fuck it, we ain't leaving.
Yeah, and there was a lot of cultural transference there, even if they were conquerors.
So like, you're going to get bleed over. And again, one of the comparisons I make is it was the neck thing called the Shemagh. You know what I'm talking about, right?
Yeah, it's
something like that
desert wear there.
Desert
the
people wear
dust
there.
Out of your eyes and your mouth and everything.
And if you look at the Iraq War, 2003,
American soldiers kind of brought that
American
back,
soldiers started wearing them. Yep. They were wearing them around their necks. They would have them and they would use them.
Yep.
So you're going to get a lot of cultural bleed over of things that even to this day, you're going to have that happen. You're going to have that cultural tie in a sense.
And I mean, these authors, these scholars are also all from, I mean, some of them are Masons, some of them aren't, but they're all from Norway, right? Mm-hmm. So they're experiencing Freemasonry through the lens of Norwegian Freemasonry.
Much similar than Americans do when we're talking about Freemasonry and our founding fathers and stuff. So.
And there are variations. I mean, the core of Freemasonry always remains the same worldwide, but there is always a little bit of variation from country to country and jurisdiction to jurisdiction.
Right. Of course.
Are Norway's rituals going to be slanted somewhat, you know, to kind of honor Norse mythology? Yeah, 100%. So their experience may lead them to say something like, oh, yeah, obviously Vikings influenced the formation of Freemasonry. Eh, not necessarily. Like, you guys might just be going through the initiatic experience with a little bit of, you know, Norse culture kind of blended into it, whereas
they need to make a degree.
In America, we have our own kind of, like...
That would be a badass degree.
What, a Viking
like
a degree?
Viking degree in the Scottish Rite or something.
That would be pretty cool. Or even
I mean, they
like,
had their own code of conduct, too. Don't get me wrong. Like, I mean, you want to compare it to like, Hiram Abiff. He wouldn't give up the damn word. Vikings, they would fight until they got to Valhalla. Like, they would. Yeah. They were just that same brotherly bond. You could almost compare the two.
You're not going to get information out of them under torture.
Like, yeah, no. Yeah. Vikings, actually, there's a crazy, and actually it's in the show Vikings, but there was an actual true story to this. One of the Vikings was captured, and he said, you know, they would not flinch. And there's some Vikings that said, I want to be standing when I get beheaded because I want everyone to see that I'm not going to flinch.
Right.
Another dude said, I'm going to put my head down on the block. I just would like for someone to hold my hair out of the way.
Right, yeah.
And he put his hair, he flipped his hair over. The guy was holding his hair. And right as the axe was coming down, he yanked back, and the dude's hands went in front of the axe. And
knocked his hand up.
And this particular Viking, I can't remember what, it's in the show Vikings, but it's actually off of something that really happened.
Okay.
And the Viking laughed. He thought it was hysterical.
And they killed him anyway, but he was like...
Eh. No, they actually were going to pardon him.
Oh, really?
Because it was in Vikings, the show, it was the French beheading a Viking. But in real life, it was a Viking beheading another Viking clan. Being that he showed such tenacity to let the dude hold on to his hair and then pull his head back quick.
They were like, that was a good one. You can live.
That's pretty good. And what they did is they said he can live, but he said, I will only accept the pardon if they all get pardoned too. And then they said no, and then he ended up dying.
Anyway.
But that just goes to show you the code of honor that they had amongst each other.
Yep.
So I think a freaking Masonic degree. Here's my thing. We've all talked about this before. I love the original Masonic degrees, but they got to build more.
Yeah, I mean to have a themed degree is okay, right? So like I can imagine an EA degree that has a lot of like Norse elements baked into it, torches by firelight, you know, that kind of thing. Everybody dressed in Viking regalia. I think that would be cool.
What if we did our own right? We'll just call it the Freemasons Podcast.
No, you can't do that because then you're innovating and then we will get our dues cards yanked and charters pulled. And it's just
haven't done it already. We're good.
It would be a shitstorm. Let's not do that. But I mean, theme degrees, lodges do it all the time.
Right.
Your jurisdiction may or may not, you know, your Grand Lodge may or may not allow that kind of thing.
Right.
Here in Connecticut, it's okay as long as you're, you know, running
within the bounds of
And you're getting dispensation if you're doing it outdoors or something like that. There are, you know, channels you
we
have
should
to go
do
through,
it, Kenny. Let's make up a Viking degree
make
team.
Up a Viking. I'll make up a Viking degree team.
Degree team
to do regular, you know,
do regular
degrees.
Degrees, but in Viking.
I would be behind it, man.
And instead of the word heaven, we'll change it to Valhalla.
Yeah,
we'll tattoo our faces and everything. We'll call Alex up.
I'd be all about that. Do we have enough? Brothers that are Scandinavian that we know of that we could put a because you would probably want to be able to claim some sort of ancestry back to
that. I'm Scandinavian,
yeah.
Apparently,
well,
you're
two of us are in. We'll have to find some other brother. If there's any local brothers that are Scandinavian that would like to join our Scandinavian degree team, our Viking degree team, please reach out to us. This could be fun.
What do you say, Kenny? I got stuff to do.
Yeah, I mean, I've got to go get my Viking costume together, so. I have limited time. You okay?
Yeah, I'm good.
All right. My bad.
So you're going to be on Amazon Prime tonight, is basically
George
what you're saying.
Snort. No, man, I'm going to make it myself. My wife is really good at sewing and making costumes. We could easily rattle something off tonight.
All right, Kenny, let's shut it down for the Freemasons Podcast. I am Right Worshipful Brother George Mudry signing off.
I am Worshipful Brother Ken signing off.
Have a good night, everyone.
Have a great night. This was fun.
Shut this shit down. Boop, boop, bye, kiddos.
Boop, boop. Good night, everyone.